to disrespect, exploring the stigma around disability, providing information and interviews to entertain and challenge listeners who care about, or care for, or may themselves have become someone with a disability. We have found a retrospective interview in the deposits left behind in the Disrespect Archives. Catherine Foster, a Black activist, discusses the housing problems of a Black mother in Hamilton. Next week, we'll try and find out how she did. The next couple of weeks, we'll try and bring you John Fraser and Syra, Housing and Human Rights. Disrespect welcomes Catherine Foster, a representative of Welfare Action, here to talk about housing. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Hi.
When you decided to come to the show, there were some housing problems with one client in particular that you wanted to tell the listeners about, that you thought were representative. In what context do you handle housing problems as a worker of Welfare Action?
A lot of problems with housing have to do with social assistance in the first place. People are low income and they can't afford to pay the amount that rent has gone up to. We've had a lot of problems with housing providers and keeping housing, getting it, and a lot of our clients ending up on the streets because they can't afford adequate places to live.
You represent your clients to the housing providers?
Yes, we do.
And so you take the heat for them from any problems that take place with the housing providers or with Ontario Works even?
And generally it's us taking the brunt of a lot of it. I think it's harder for them to deal with it because it's more personal, and also because they don't have the means or the, I guess, the knowledge of what we're supposed to know.
yeah, how the system works that they
yeah.
don't tell us, yeah.
Right.
Apparently, some of your clients get into housing problems after their checks have been cut off, and you've had experiences with Ontario Works on that, too.
Oh, for sure. A lot of them end up being evicted because their check's been cut off, and they can't pay the rent for that period of time. Some of them are cut off because there's a 3-month cutoff now for losing your job. So if someone loses...
What does that mean? Oh, I see. Yeah, you lose your OW.
Right. You lose your OW for 3 months straight. If you lose your job once, you're cut off for 3 months. If you lose your job twice, you're cut off for 6. So a lot of our clients have ended up homeless because of that, naturally. The eviction process takes 3 months. After that, you can't find another place to live because you've been evicted.
Yeah. There's a lot of lists here. So once you're evicted, you go on a list and you're not allowed to get housing?
You can get subsidy housing, just not through Hamilton Housing. The other housing providers, it is if you owe money to another subsidy housing provider that they will not rent to you.
Okay.
And that CHAN, the Community Housing Access Network, can actually cut you off so that you're not able to rent an apartment from anywhere in Ontario, a subsidy
unit. Here's a positive
unit.
Step, eh? If you have financial problems, we just get you out of Ontario.
Mm-hmm. That's...
Yeah. You were going to tell us about, had a particular problem in the Congress development. Apparently, it wasn't managed in a way that made it nice to live in.
Right. There was pot smoke in the hallways, and there was, urine in the elevators and that sort of thing, and a lot of issues with, animals.
So they didn't even let these people in and then target the misbehaviors and get them out?
No.
So your client moved out?
Yes. She had moved out. She had lived elsewhere for about a year and then became pregnant. Mm-hmm. And when she became pregnant, she went back to Year to Income Housing to try and find another place to live.
For her and her baby and
right.
her husband?
Yeah. She was married at the time. She had enough money to rent a 2-bedroom apartment, but 3-bedroom apartments are a lot more expensive. They had wanted to find a place where their children could each have a room.
And did they find such a place?
No.
Well, what happened? They went back to Hamilton Housing.
Right. When they went back to Hamilton Housing, they were refused housing. Hamilton Housing actually hadn't given her any notice of this, but they had charged her for a month's rent after she moved out and a cleaning fee of over $300.
Well, there was a story. I remember we discussed this before the interview, and there was a story around notice, too.
Mm-hmm.
And Hamilton
right.
Housing makes out that there was no notice given, but this isn't what you understand the client.
She had attempted to give her notice in writing to the building manager, and the building manager had told her that she had to go straight to Hamilton Housing to give her notice. And when she had called them, they had said, you live across town, you don't have to come in, you can just call and... She had called for a few months after that, and they had told her that her notice had been input into the computer. Everything was fine. When the charges came up, they said that they had charged her for a month's rent after she moved out because she hadn't given written notice. This was about a year later.
Back to Hamilton Housing a year later.
Right.
And then they said, you owe us a month's rent. According to what you've told me, this cuts her off from housing.
First, she had thought she owed a $25 key deposit. Mm-hmm. And Chan had told her that she might owe more money. Mm-hmm. If they know that people probably owe more money than they think they do, then obviously this is happening to a lot of people.
Why do you say that?
Well, because they had mentioned it to her. She hadn't mentioned it to them.
Oh, so you're thinking that they mentioned it to her because it was such a regular occurrence that
yes.
they figured it was a good idea to examine
right.
it.
Right, that's right. how I feel about it. That they had said, you know, call them and find out how much you really owe and then call us back.
Okay.
So she had called them and found out that she owed $545.
So now she's right. not only barred from housing in Hamilton, she's barred all over Ontario.
Mm-hmm. She had disputed it with them and said, look, I don't owe that money. I gave you my notice. What mm-hmm. happened to it? And they said, well, we don't have any notice in your file. We don't have any notice in writing. She asked what the cleaning fee was for, and at that time, they wouldn't tell her.
Oh.
They just said it's a cleaning fee, and that's...
It's our cleaning fee.
Yeah,
you owe it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a cleaning fee. You owe it. You don't get housing unless you have it.
Right. But she found out it wouldn't allow her to move in.
That's right. They told her that she wouldn't be able to get a Hamilton housing unit for a year after mm-hmm. she paid off the money. She had said, you know, I can't afford to pay off the money if I don't have
housing.
Chan had also given her about 24 hours to either start paying off Hamilton housing or be taken completely off the list for all of Ontario.
24 hours?
Yeah. You could reapply right at that time, not for Hamilton housing.
Excluding Hamilton housing with another 5-year wait.
I think, because the Hamilton housing units usually are close to 25-50% of what is on the list.
Do you have anybody's name there?
They wouldn't give us a name.
So they don't give out names?
Oh, no.
But they give out deadlines?
Oh, for sure. After having been removed from the list, she had called Dundurn Legal Clinic and asked them what she could do. Was there a process? Was there a way to get this into court so that she could prove that she didn't owe the money? Mm. And Dundurn Legal Clinic had said they couldn't.
So she still had housing, so they didn't have anything to do with it. That was the deal?
No, she still had a place to live.
Mm-hmm.
But she hadn't been evicted from Hamilton housing yet. The money wasn't charged because of an eviction.
She wasn't living at Hamilton housing at this time, was she?
No, this was a year later. As I had said, it was when she was reapplying for Hamilton Housing. Hamilton Housing actually had not contacted her in any way, shape, or form about the money that they were stating that she owed.
Right.
They had sent it to a collection agency, but the collection agency hadn't contacted her. They hadn't told her about it until she was trying to obtain housing again.
Yeah. So at this point, the legal clinic has refused to help her on the grounds that she's not been evicted. Did they give any justification beyond that? Did they give any reason why they can't help? Did they give any reason why their resources should go elsewhere?
No. No, they made no statement except that if she wasn't being evicted that they couldn't help. And I think the issue that we've had with this client and with other clients as well is that the legal clinics won't help unless the court fee is being paid by someone else. That's the basic...
The court fee?
Well, the getting into court in the first place. They will
they
not...
They have to go into court. They won't go
right.
on the client's behalf.
Right.
And what clinic was this?
Dundurn Legal Clinic. She had talked to the secretary.
The receptionist?
Right, and I guess a lawyer had called her back, and I'm not sure the name of the lawyer. She didn't give it to me.
Her legal clinic turned her down. She's not entitled to go to another legal clinic because they define their clients geographically. So what did she do then?
She had called us, and we had gone back to Chan with her to try and work it out that way. That's what we do. You know, we'll talk directly to workers or directly to whoever is causing the problem first and hope
right.
that it works.
Right.
Which it didn't. When we went to Chan with her, it was the same spiel that mm-hmm. she legally owed the money because Hamilton Housing said she legally owed the money and that was good enough for them. We tried to...
This.
Yes.
So this is the third contact with Chan for her, the
mm-hmm.
first contact for Welfare Action.
Right. We had asked them if there was an internal review process. They said there was, but it didn't apply because the problem was with Hamilton Housing and not with them.
Right.
We kind of...
So Chan's fronting for Hamilton Housing, but there's no
mm-hmm.
there's no dispute resolution process.
Right. Well, we responded that the problem is with them because they have removed her from the list for all of Ontario, and if that that is their action, not Hamilton Housing's action. All Hamilton Housing did was claim that she had owed the money in the first place.
Right. But they're not going to.
They would not put it through an internal review.
About that removal from the list.
Yeah, we were only allowed to talk to the person at the front counter. They wouldn't accept an internal review. They wouldn't let us talk to anyone higher up. We don't know.
Who did you talk to?
They don't give names.
No names, right? So
that's
you're talking
right.
to a face.
Yeah, the woman had just said, there's someone else here you can talk to. Here she is. And yeah. handed us over.
Yeah.
And the woman in question worked at the desk beside her. So
yeah.
we don't feel that we were talking to anyone higher up.
No. Where did it go from there?
We had then gone back to Hamilton Housing and tried to reason it out with them.
Yep.
Chan had told us that that was the process, that we should go through their internal review.
Oh, yeah.
Hamilton Housing's internal review
process.
So they
had an internal review process?
No. We had gone to Hamilton Housing and asked them for an internal review, and they had said, we will not give her an, and this is a quote, we will not give her an internal review because she legally owes the money.
Oh, I see. We won't discuss whether she owes the money because we say she owes the money.
Yes.
Okay.
That was it, and we will not...
That's a very succinct review.
And now for a short break from our interview.
Well, it's Saturday night, and I just got paid. Fool about my money, don't try to save. My heart say go, go. Have a time, cause it's Saturday night, and I'm feeling fine. I'm gonna rock it up. I'm gonna rip it up. I'm gonna shake it up.
And now, return to our interview.
They're still saying she didn't give any notice.
Right, they're still saying she didn't give any notice.
It was expensive to clean up the apartment.
Right, they had showed us the file, and there was the cleanup of the apartment. They had showed pictures of this.
Some doubtful photographs of,
yes.
of
right.
things that didn't exist when she left the apartment.
Mm-hmm. They were definitely doubtful. It was, I think, two garbage bags that had been ripped open. And her argument was that, why would I put all of this in garbage bags just to rip them open?
So what's the status of this debt in the meanwhile? I mean, she wants to pay this debt. She wants to get an apartment. Did anybody give you any kind of break about paying the debt and getting back into housing?
No. They had told us that she can pay back housing in small amounts of, you know, $5 or $10, whatever she can afford a month. And if she can prove that she's doing that, then she can apply for other housing providers that are not Hamilton Housing.
Oh, apply in the sense of waiting 5 years or apply in the sense of applying now?
In the sense of reapplying now and waiting another 5 years.
Okay.
She is at this point due in 2 weeks to have the baby, and they're in a two-bedroom apartment. They can't afford anything bigger.
I understand that so their income is low enough that they stopped the phone to afford Christmas for
right.
each other
yeah.
and the family. Where's it going to go from here? Apparently, Welfare Action contacted Mike Kearney at Hamilton Housing.
Yes, we did. Apparently, he's the director of Hamilton Housing. We contacted him over a month ago, and we've had no response. Mm-hmm. We can't even find the name or number of a director at Chan at all. Mm-hmm. We're still attempting to talk to Chan and talk to Hamilton Housing and get this sorted out. We're hoping that one legal clinic or the other decides to help this woman out. There seems to be no process from here. We were told that both Chan and Hamilton Housing have an internal review process, but so far we've been unable to access either.
Have you talked to the director of Hamilton Housing, Vicki Woodcox?
No.
She's apparently new. She was interim director.
We were told that the director of Hamilton Housing was Mike Kearney.
Housing made a transition in the fall from the planning department to public health, who are the people who administer work here. And the head of social and public health is the new lady who's been brought in from outside the city, I think from Alberta. Her name is Joanne Priel.
We haven't been able to talk to her about any specific thing, and I think a lot of that is that we have so many clients, so many problems, and it would be hard to fit them all into one half-hour meeting.
When housing had been taken over by public health, and I mentioned that was the group that ran Workfare, you went, whoa. I gather you have a lot of problems with Workfare?
Yes, we have so many problems with Workfare. I don't think I could even mention them all at once. I think our biggest problem has been the three-month cutoff. I think I had mentioned that before, but the three-month cutoff for quitting or having been fired from a job, which is literally physically putting people on the streets. Mm-hmm. Entire families living in shelters and... Mm-hmm.
Well, to mention the abuse they suffer on the job when the boss says, you better do this or I'll fire you, then you'll be put on the street.
Right, and they're completely aware that they're on Ontario Works. And Workfare also at this point has gotten worse because they've forced our clients to... they used to just have to fill out a job search form and put on the name and phone number of the company you had gone to. Now you have to have the person at the company at the desk sign the form to prove that you went in.
Pardon me, I'm on Ontario Works.
That's
please
right.
sign here.
You're that's
going,
right.
There's going to be an endless trail of paper if you do hire me like
yes.
this.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And could you sign this to prove that I work here? Mm-hmm. Could you sign this other sheet of paper to prove that I now have been hired? And I guess from Ontario Works' point of view, keeps people honest, but it also keeps people jobless.
Well, it also keeps the landlords abusive. I mean, the employers abusive if they
that's
want
right.
to be. I mean, there's no disincentive not to be abusive. Let's put it that way. Nice guys are going to stay nice guys, but anybody who wants to abuse a client now can say, don't forget, I can fire you, and you won't get any money for mm-hmm. 3 months.
That's know, right. So, you can't go after that raise. You can't
under
go
the desk.
After.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's right. And it's they have to do it within 3 months, or else you qualify for EI. But
for
once
what?
For employment insurance. Right, but the minute you do not qualify for employment insurance, you don't qualify for Ontario Works for 3 months, regardless of whether
say
you
that
have
again.
A family. The minute you don't qualify for employment insurance,
the minute you're disqualified from employment insurance,
right? You do not qualify for Ontario
you're
Works for 3 months.
You're also disqualified for Ontario Works.
Mm-hmm.
When would you not qualify for employment insurance?
I'll have to give an example. We had a client who was working for I think 30 years at a company. And he had to take several days off sick, and it resulted in him being fired from the job. Employment insurance, for some reason, decided that he didn't qualify, even though he had doctor's notes stating that he had been sick and he had had the flu and he hadn't been able to go into the job.
Yeah.
So Ontario Works had said that he can't get any money for 3 months because EI had already disqualified him for 30 years worth of payments.
So they piggyback the benefits.
Oh, sure.
To be sure that they're cheap.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, what do you see as the long-term solution to these housing problems? Now we have public health administering both Ontario Works and housing. We have a new information regulation being promulgated through housing where there's a sharing of a vast amount of information between housing and Ontario Works about the clients. And it's actually contravenes the Human Rights Act, but nonetheless, it's in force.
I think there already is too much sharing of information between one and the other, mm-hmm. and between other administrative organizations in Ontario Works.
Do you think some of it's shared maliciously, like this disqualification throughout the province?
I think a lot of it is. I think a lot of it is. We've had clients who are cut off because they applied for a credit card. And yes, and lied about the amount of their income. We had one client who was cut off because he had stated on a credit card application that he was self-employed because he didn't want to say, I'm on welfare. And welfare had cut him off pending further investigation of his income from his self-employed job.
Really?
So I don't know how they're getting the credit card information.
The credit bureau. Oh, dear. Well, it does sound...
So there's a lot of different organizations who they're already getting information from, and I don't think that giving them another opportunity to abuse our clients and their clients is...
It's not supportive of the clients if the idea is to get people back to work. Making them homeless doesn't seem to help.
No, obviously not. Once you're homeless, you're not going to get a job. You don't even have a place to live.
So is it fair to say take housing and hopefully workfare out of public health, because unfortunately public health hasn't raised the bar in housing or workfare. Workfare and housing seem to have lowered the bar at public health. They've put up interlocks and barriers and bulletproof glass and all this kind of thing, mm-hmm. instead of addressing the health problems of the people who come to them for support. Mm-hmm. So you take it out of there, you put limits on the information sharing, which people who are not on these fixed incomes enjoy. Take the landlords out of CHAN, at the very least, mm-hmm. would we have a fairer system?
I think so. I think you need to definitely put individuals from the community into CHAN, because if you're in CHAN trying to find people housing, you should be a representative of those people, not of at least somewhat representing the public rather than just the landlords.
Maybe if there were a board turnover provision or something, we could ensure that there were quite a lot of people from the community, and there were some active recruiting efforts to ensure the quality.
Oh, I'm sure. At least there has to be an internal review process or someone that they would have to answer to that would be sympathetic to the situation.
That's right. You ran up against two internal review processes that wouldn't go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And if we had gone to an internal review where the board of directors were people from the community, we would have gotten a lot further than we did with them.
Yeah. People who think you're being taken care of, mm-hmm. and maybe get the rude awakening when they find out what's really gone on.
Right.
Was there anything else you wanted to say?
I think that's it.
Well, thanks for coming in, and thanks for giving us that at Disrespect. We hope that our listeners are interested in the extent of the problem and the extent of the solutions required. I hope somebody will point this out to Mayor Diani. I'll certainly write it up in the Spectator at a future date and put these housing problems you've drawn our attention to before the public. Thank you, Catherine.
Oh, thanks for having me.
By now, you probably recognized Little Richard in Rip It Up, one of Little Richard's wildest performances, written as a country song by John Mariscala one hungover Sunday morning while he waited in a Mississippi cotton field for a friend to get out of church so they could go hunting. Wrapping up, from the album Black Music for White People, Screamin' Jay Hawkins gives us a little comic relief in Heart Attack and Vine.
Liar, liar, where your drawers on fire, white spade hanging on the telephone wire. Gambler, reevaluate along the dotted line. You'll never recognize yourself on a deck and vine. Doctor, lawyer, beggar man, thief. Billy Joe, remarkable, looks on in disbelief. If you want to taste the madness, you'll have to wait in line. You'll probably see someone you know on a deck and vine. Money high. China White, surely found a pump. Don't you know there ain't no devil that's dead screaming Jay when he's drunk. Well, this stuff will probably kill you. Let's do another line. What you say you meet me down on Heart Attack and Vine? Boulevard on the bare broken lane. You'll find that ignorance is bliss every doggone time. You're waiting for the RTD on Hunter Second Vine. Bonnie Hines trying to wait. Shorty found a pump. Don't you know there ain't no devil that's just screaming shame in his drum? So this stuff will probably kill you. Let's do another line. What do you say you meet me down on a Hunter Second Vine? Liar, liar, with your drawers on fire. White spade hanging on a telephone wire. Gamblers reevaluate along the dotted line. You'll never recognize yourself on a Hunter Second Vine. Dr. Liar, Beggar Man Thief. Billy Joe Remarkable looks on in disbelief. If you want to taste the madness, you'll have to wait in line. You'll probably see someone you know on a Hunter Second Vine. See that little Jersey girl in the see-through top with the pedal pushes sucking on a soda pop. Well, I bet she's still a virgin, but it's only 25 to 9. You can see a million of them down on Hunter Second Vine. Bonnie Hines, China White, surely found a pump. Don't you know there ain't no devil that's just screaming Jay when he's drunk? Well, this stuff will probably kill ya. Let's do another ride. You say you meet me down on a Hunter Second Vine.
Disrespect is looking for the names of politicians who are friendly to people with disabilities and supportive of their goals. You can send us this information at radio.stories@gmail.com. radio.stories@gmail.com. And we'd also like to hear what you want to hear on Disrespect related to disability, discrimination, and equity. radio.stories@gmail.com. If you're interested in the show, you think you might learn how to do digital editing, send us your name and your email. Again, radio.stories@gmail.com. We're looking for a volunteer editor. Disrespect, we'll be back next week. The show is digitally edited from live telephone and studio interviews.